Hey there, welcome to the Nui Tech People podcast. Today I am meeting with someone I'm hugely fond of and someone that I've known for a long time and helped a few times during his career. His name is Sandy Agafonoff and he's currently the engineering manager and squad lead at HelloFresh. It's great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be here.
Welcome. So I thought we could start by telling the audience a bit of an overview of your career to date and your role at HelloFresh.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, how far back do you want to go?
So in terms of your software career, so mm-hmm. when you first started in software engineering.
Yeah, well, I had a very kind of, I guess, traditional path. So I graduated uni in sort of 2005, 2006.
Yep.
And I started at a company called Unisys.
Mm-hmm.
So a big sort of global consulting company.
Yep, and Unisys.
Yep, so I worked with them for a couple of years. And following that, I started working for a company called Scenic Tours.
Okay, yeah.
In Newcastle, which was nice because I was traveling to and from Sydney, and then it was nice to come to a Newcastle company for a little while.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, from there I kind of had a little bit of, I guess, time off working in companies, and I kind of had a little bit of time off tech in general.
Mm-hmm.
And then after maybe a year or so, I started my own kind of freelancing.
That's right. I remember that. You were freelancing and doing your own sort of web development, software development for private clients.
Yeah, that's right. And I did that for about 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then after having a couple of kids, I decided to get back into working and
I think that's when I first met you, wasn't it? When
I think we'd met before, that was when you first started, helping me.
Working with you.
And, I got a job in a company in Sydney and worked there. So I've kind of worked in a whole bunch of different sized companies.
From big corporates to startups scale-ups.
And then in 2018, I had a gig with a startup in Newcastle with Tango.
With Tango,
And then worked with Pegasus for a bit as well. Mm. So, yeah, I've had a pretty vast array of experiences.
Yeah. And now you're with HelloFresh, and they're obviously, I didn't realise when I first started speaking with them how big they are globally.
Yeah.
I've obviously tried their products. I had during the last lockdown, I had visions of teaching my children how to cook. So so I ordered some HelloFresh and it's a great product.
Yeah.
So what attracted you to the role there when you first sort of joined?
Yeah, well, it's kind of similar to when I finished at Scenic Tours and I had a little bit of time off. Mm-hmm. I almost was, in a similar spot where there'd been pandemic, I'd had some issues, there was a whole lot of things going on and I was actually looking to take a little bit of a break. And so I did that for a couple of months, but then a person I'd worked with before reached out and said, oh, hey, we've got some roles at HelloFresh. And I initially was like, you know what, I'm just kind of relaxing at the moment, trying to kind of regroup a little bit.
Yeah.
But then they kind of presented a little bit more about what they were doing, about the product. Mm. I think we tried HelloFresh before as well, but I didn't really grasp similarly how large scale it is.
Yeah.
And food's always, I like food. And
we all do, yep.
Yeah. So when I kind of looked at it and I was like, wow, this is, this company's kind of delivering food to people. Like the idea that you can kind of work somewhere and help build things that's going to allow people to order food and have those kind of family experiences.
Mm.
That was really kind of attractive to me.
Yeah.
So,
and I like the whole ethos around HelloFresh. It actually saves a lot of food wastage.
Yeah.
So I think that when I was having a chat to some of your team around, particularly your internal talent team, around sort of how much food waste you can actually save by ordering through HelloFresh is pretty impressive.
Yeah. A lot of the times when you buy things, if you have a recipe book and it tells you what to buy, it'll have like, oh, you have to buy this bottle of sauce or you have to have a particular sauce.
Mm.
And then you go and buy that bottle of sauce and then you might eat the thing and you're like, oh, actually, that's not my favorite. But with HelloFresh, you'll get everything pre-portioned and you'll get little packets of all the flavors. Yeah. So you can try something. You don't waste anything. There's obviously some basics that you're probably going to have, like olive oil, vinegar, like all your standard stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, all those little kind of unique things they'll give you in pre-portioned things. So you end up wasting way less than you would otherwise.
Yeah, it's amazing to think of it that way.
There's obviously some, and we're always trying to reduce packaging as well. So it's like a it's like a trade-off between not wanting the full packaging to be there,
yes,
but then also not wanting the food wastage.
Yeah,
it's a hard trade-off to make.
Yeah, cool. And so there's 22,000 people approximately globally, which I didn't know either. I didn't even, for some reason, I thought the company was Australian, but I didn't realize it was headquartered in Berlin. That's where it started.
Yeah,
and that's where a lot of the core engineering team are. So the team that you work with in Australia, the engineering team. So there's 800-900 engineers.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, globally.
Yeah, globally. Yeah.
And your team in Australia is more the sort of, I guess, the back end engineering team. What do you call it internally?
So the HelloFresh Australia actually kicked off about a year or two after HelloFresh globally.
Right.
So we're actually one of the longer running markets.
Right.
We had very few people in the tech team. So maybe like 3 years ago, there might have been six people. They were just referred to as the ops tech team. Like they just helped out the operations for supply chain, just building bits and pieces here or there. And then a year or two ago, the HelloFresh global group marked a couple of different locations. One was Australia and one was North America, as global tech hubs.
Mm-hmm.
So they would then contribute to some of the larger projects that were ongoing and, you know, kind of join in the sort of global engineering efforts.
Yeah, okay. And I know that Australia is one of those test markets for when you're, particularly if you're designing a new system that's going to be used across all of the operations globally, you'll roll it out potentially in Australia first. Is that the case?
Not quite. So, like, we will we were building things specifically for Australia for a fair while. But with this sort of switch, some of our team are kind of working on local tools, local products as well. But some of our other teams are actually looking at rolling products out into global markets first. So it's not necessarily going to be always Australia or any particular market. There's just usually like some sort of readiness check.
Yeah.
Where some system will require certain things to be present. And if those markets have those things present, then we'll kind of target that market for the rollouts.
Yeah, cool. And what can you talk to in terms of the growth of HelloFresh and the plans? Are you allowed to share any of the more exciting?
I mean, I can share that we're kept quite well informed as a group. So our top level people will give us a lot of information. I'm not actually sure how much of it that I
can share. Yeah, fair enough.
I'm probably just are on the safe side.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess as a proxy, like the AU tech team has grown from about 6 to 35 in the last, you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
So in terms of the trajectory, there's quite a lot going on. And I mean, as you said, HelloFresh was a bit of a winner in the pandemic. That being said, a lot of hard work had to be done to capture that opportunity.
Yeah.
And it could have kind of gone either way. And a lot of companies had the same opportunity and didn't necessarily grasp onto it. But HelloFresh was able to sort of keep up with demand and maintain a really good customer focused product.
Yeah.
And that kind of kept people coming back.
Yeah, cool. And they've made a recent acquisition as well in the ready-made meal market, haven't they?
Yeah. Well, they really kind of achieved their first mission, which was to become the number one meal kit group globally. So HelloFresh is kind of there. And so the new shift is to kind of look at overall food solutions to some extent.
Yep.
So rather than just the dinner, what can we do for lunches or breakfasts or really kind of take on some of those new opportunities. And a lot of the feedback that we have is HelloFresh is amazing, but sometimes it would be nice to have something simple.
Pre-made. Yeah.
But also of high quality. So the acquisitions that HelloFresh has made of Youfoodz and Factor in the US, those companies are also at the top of their respective markets.
Yeah, Youfoodz.
Well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you were to try a Youfoodz product, it's almost, it's hard to tell that it's pre-made.
Like, oh, wow.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I've tried a few now because I get them, and they're, some nights it's easy to warm up for the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
As well, and I've tried them. It? Yeah. Yeah. My son is a big fan. My daughter's picky on everything. So she actually ate one the other day. I was like, well, what are they doing that I can't do? This is amazing. But yeah, no, really, really good. So,
And it's really still really fresh, and it's, you know, I know that they, you know, pay attention to, you know, the nutrient quality of the food.
That's right,
and Yeah.
So there's alignment there between the two brands. Yeah.
Okay. So we've covered the exciting things that are going on with the company and HelloFresh. So I'd like to talk about your career and why you chose a career in technology, particularly software development. Yep. You know, what was that first thing that got you interested? So you're leaving school.
Yeah.
And why you made that choice?
I guess it's really interesting. Like, I never actually made a choice to some extent. I was just a kid who had a computer in the house, and I like playing computer games, and it's a pretty kind of common story. I then was lucky enough to have internet access in the sort of mid-90s,
mm-hmm.
and I could visit websites, and then a lot of really interesting things were there where you could kind of create your own websites, and I just kind of learned how to look at the code behind the web pages and build my own web pages, and then learn a little bit about JavaScript and how that works, and then so I kind of just started doing
curious.
Tech things. Yeah
You're curious.
And so when I finished school, it was a question of, you know, what do I want to do? And I mean, I didn't try and get into sort of any kind of computer science degree or anything like that. I started doing commerce.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, because I didn't really think of it as a
career.
Like, it wasn't really laid out like that back then.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a super just common pathway. But then after being at uni for a year, I switched over into a like an IT degree.
Yeah.
And then just took a software engineering focus.
Yeah.
Because that interested me, and then sort of pursued that through, and then graduated in 2006.
So in terms of the advice that you would give to students, so, you know, leaving school and young grads in terms of starting a career in technology, what would that be?
I mean, I don't want to say do what I did, but I mean, after having kind of experience working with lots of different people as well, I would say the people who seem to most enjoy working in tech for a long period of time are the ones who are just generally interested in how stuff works.
Yeah.
It's like, I think most people are capable of programming and figuring out how to write programs. But if you're one of those people who are super interested in, like, not just how something works, but why it works, you're probably going to go quite a long way. And so, I think I said to our whole group a couple of weeks ago, they were asking a similar question. And I just said, look, you just be curious about things.
Mm. I noticed you mentioned, I saw that on LinkedIn the other day, you mentioned one of that you've learned the most important attribute to have is curiosity.
And it's kind of like distinct from learning, because like learning, you can go and read a textbook, but you'll just kind of learn what's in that textbook and then you can kind of regurgitate it back. But if you're curious, you'll read something in a textbook and then you go, well, I don't understand that, and then you'll have to look that up, and then you go and read that, and then, you know, you can kind of like go off in different sort of threads of learning and then come back and have a much more well-rounded understanding of something.
And I guess for a software engineer who having that problem-solving mindset, you need to have a genuine level of curiosity to understand how businesses work.
Yeah.
You know, how systems work and how they're going to solve problems or create new products and new growth markets for a company, or just solve day-to-day business process problems.
Yeah, that's right. And if you ask why... often a lot of people don't want to ask why. They feel like they're being kind of like almost rude or something. But most people are super happy to tell you why something is the way it is.
Yeah.
And like they've put a lot of effort into what they're doing. And so when you say, oh yeah, why is that?
Yeah.
They've often got really, really good reasons. And even in just tech, and if you're a senior and you want to be participating in mentoring, it's fine to be able to say like, oh yeah, well, this is the way we should do something. But if a junior engineer asks why, you have to be able to kind of articulate that.
Do you think that's like a confidence thing when people are starting out as well? And it starts in school, I think, because you don't want to ask questions in front of your peers in case you sound silly.
Yeah.
It's something that I've had to talk to my kids about over and over again. If they don't understand something, they come home frustrated and they're like, well, did you ask a teacher? No. Why?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to ask a question in front of my friends. So it's that whole fear, and then it translates, comes into the workforce, and then you're a junior engineer, and who are you to question or ask why for a senior software engineer?
Yeah, and it's even to the point where if you're told that it's okay to ask why, most people don't believe you still. Like, it's really interesting. I mean, I kind of counter that by saying, well, you either ask why now or you go away for 3 days pretending that you know what you're doing, and then you have to come back in 3 days and say, like, oh, okay, I just need to know why this is happening, and then you're actually kind of, you know, done something that you could have probably done better.
Yeah,
because now that person's going to say, well, why didn't you just ask me 3 days ago?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
so that's probably a really good one for young students and grads to, you know, be comfortable asking questions and finding out why. And
also, if you start a new role, you know, just spend a lot of time sort of asking questions, because everybody wants to be productive. Everybody wants to contribute.
Yeah.
And the quicker you can just ask all of the questions and get to some sort of level of being the, you know, whatever, however productive you want to be, the better you're going to feel.
And
the better your team's going to feel.
Mm.
Because, I mean, it's obvious, like, when somebody new starts in a new team, there's going to be a downward sort of slope on productivity while they come up to speed.
Is. Yep.
And the quicker you can lift yourself up, the quicker you can help your team.
Don't wait to be fed the information.
Yeah. Especially when your team is already sitting there knowing that, you know, you're new and you've just started.
Mm.
If you don't do it in that point in time, it's like, okay, after a while, it's like, okay, well, why are we still having this conversation?
Mm. Mm.
So it's just much, much easier to just go in and be curious, go through, ask all the questions, and then just keep learning as you go.
And what about, is there any other advice you'd give to young software engineers starting their first software engineering role? That's really good advice in terms of taking accountability and responsibility for their learning and understanding. Is there any other advice that you would give them in terms of developing their business-facing skills or their technical skills?
Yeah, just read a lot. Like, read a lot of different ideas, read a lot of different things. Like, don't try and specialize too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for specific tasks.
Yeah.
If you're a front-end developer, maybe ask for some small back-end tasks as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of get some idea of what the other people are working with and how they do their role.
Yeah.
Because it kind of lets you have sort of empathy.
Yes.
And when you're kind of thinking, oh, why can't this person just do this, you know, and why it can't be that hard to do X, Y, Z. It's like, well, have you ever done that? No. Okay, so just go and try. Just do one and see how it goes.
Yeah.
But, yeah, try a lot of different things.
Yeah, so that's a good one, empathy, having empathy for the people in your team that are doing quite different work than you. In terms and not specializing in a particular area is a good one, particularly in technologies, trying new different technologies, having side projects at home, would you recommend?
That's one thing. So have a side project, but have a side project that you come back to every 3 months and you either redo it or try and add a new thing to it.
Okay.
Because the thing that we do is we'll go and learn something and we'll build the demo app.
Yeah.
But building a new demo app for every new thing is always going to be easy. It's really tricky when you come back to something you've been building 6 months after you built it. It's like you'll look at that and you'll think, wow, who wrote this? Was it me? I can't believe I did that. That's not how I do it now. And then try and change it to how you would do it now. Because it's those bits and pieces that get really hard.
Mm.
Building new things is quite simple. Keeping something running for a long period of time, that's really where you can kind of learn a lot about some of the more kind of subtle things to do with software development.
Cool. And what do you think is one of the funniest or biggest mistakes you've made in your career?
Okay, I mean, I have to think about that because there's so many. I've made all of them. Like, I mean, I made the mistake of not asking questions. I made the mistake of not asking why. I made the mistake of thinking that I knew everything and didn't need to learn anymore.
Yeah.
There's lots of, different so kind
what,
of.
What do they call that unconscious competence where you think you know everything?
Yeah, Dunning-Kruger. Yeah. I was both Dunning and Kruger in the city. Yeah. And it was just, and it really was just going away and looking at it and thinking, oh, I know how to do this, and then trying to do it. And realizing, wait, actually, this is quite difficult. Mm. And going back and learning from the ground up again.
Yeah.
Probably one of the biggest mistakes I made, though, was kind of looking for a really good team and not trying to build a really good team or grow into a really good team.
Okay.
But always assuming that, oh, there's some team out there that's doing such amazing things. And, you know, you can just join these teams and then all of the performance comes with it. But that's not how teams work at all. And so that's probably one of the things I would do differently. I would stay in certain places and try and grow into certain teams.
To try and influence better outcomes for that team.
Yeah.
All done that.
I think most people have made all the mistakes. So.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So you've been successful at growing a team at HelloFresh, and you've recently been promoted yourself. Was that a little while ago into engineering manager?
That was probably after like 3 months. So I started as a tech lead.
Right, you started as a tech lead. Yeah,
the project that I was on had a couple of engineers on it, and it was easy enough for me to just take them on. Switched up to an engineering manager at that point.
Yeah, great.
But, retained most of the sort of tech lead stuff as well.
So in terms of your current team that you lead, what projects are you working on?
Yeah, so we've got six. I've got six engineers at the moment, and we're working on, I guess you call it order processing.
Mm-hmm.
So converting the orders that are coming from the customer side and sort of feeding them into the supply chain across sort of various different domains. So. Yeah, kind of managing the data for customer orders through to procurement, through to forecasting, and through to fulfillment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So you got six engineers and growing. So
yeah. So I had nine, but we split teams and we brought on another engineering manager, and so he's managing three of them. But they're also got another one starting soon, and we've got another couple of engineers starting. I think. The end of September.
So what can you tell us about the technology that you work with?
Yep. So we have a awesome platform team, and they've built out a lot of things that are, basically make it easy for us to develop and deploy and build applications. So we're very heavily invested in Kubernetes.
Yep.
And also now into Kafka.
Okay.
So there's a somewhat of a push or an idea of teams sort of owning their own data and then integrating their applications through Kafka rather than sort of direct API calls. Mm-hmm. But there's still a mixture of both. Like some services have APIs, some are pushing data onto Kafka. But yeah, long-term plan is to sort of have teams building sort of discrete data products and sharing that across the organization in a distributed fashion. Yeah.
Yeah, great. And so they're the core projects that you're working on at the moment. Is there anything exciting coming up in the horizon down the pipeline?
Yeah. So there's for the Sydney team, there's new projects in procurement and new projects in forecasting. And then we've just launched a really interesting one to sort of have customers able to order their boxes later and get them sooner. And
so there's multiple times you can order a week, more real time. Yeah, that's right,
rather than processing. Just the one.
Yep.
And then we're going to bring on more of those days over the rest of this year. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So they can order at multiple points during the week. So I think it's
at
the moment you've got to order in before Tuesday or something to get them for the next week. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. We've got internal customers mainly.
Yeah.
So the warehouses and internal planners and things like that. So they're our primary customer. But all the projects that we do are still geared towards the end customer as well.
Yep.
And so a lot of the optimizations we're doing through the internal customers that we're serving is in order to sort of improve the customer experience.
Yeah, great. Yeah. And so in terms of building your team, what do you look for in new hires?
The key thing that I would say to be successful in a role at HelloFresh is sort of self-motivation. there's huge opportunity and huge respect for anybody to come in and sort of highlight areas for improvement, use data to show your case, and then you'll be given support to kind of advocate and push for that.
Mm.
That's kind of what we're looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. So someone that's people that are, have that accountability and
yeah,
are self-motivated to yep, achieve and help lift the team.
At the same time, we hire across the whole range of sort of developers. So we've got graduates, we've got juniors, seniors. And so obviously not everyone's going to have that experience and skill straight up, but you have the ability and people around you to grow that
yep,
skill if that's something that you want to do.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So what's sort of training and development opportunities are opened to people that join HelloFresh?
We have a standard for anybody who's been working with HelloFresh for, I think it's 6 months now, six yep, to 12 months. We've got a $1,000 learning development budget
yep,
to go towards courses, subscriptions to places or other learnings that you might want to undertake.
Mm-hmm.
We have weekly engineering meetings where we're sharing information. We have like book club sharing stuff that we have. One of our key DNA attributes is, you know, continued learning.
Yeah.
And so it's almost anything that you really want to do, you can talk to your manager about, mm-hmm, say, hey, this is coming up, I want to look at this. We also have like management course seats that people can
mm-hmm
take and sit on just to get some experience and just mm-hmm to sort of understand things. There's a very, very high focus around learning and development.
Mm. And you mentioned DNA
yeah
attributes. Is that a like a framework at
yeah
HelloFresh?
Yeah, I mean, like a lot of them really just in the end are common sense. Like, you know, people learn, people focus on the customer, people take like long term focus on things. But it's really nice to have those things made explicit
mm-hmm
and promoted from the, you know, very top all the way through the organization.
Yeah.
That's probably something that I would say I've seen more at HelloFresh than other companies.
Yeah.
It's not like it's not just a kind of poster on the wall.
Yes.
It's actively used and spoken about, and
in terms of the values of the company.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So it's always, are we doing this? Is what we're doing meeting our values?
Yep.
And that's a question that people often actually ask.
Yep.
Yeah.
And is it serving the customer?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
At the end of the day. Yeah, yeah. Great. So in terms of the core productivity tools and things that you use, can you talk about those?
In Slack?
Yeah.
Yeah, just
is it just yeah, Slack? Yeah, is yeah, anything
lots,
else?
Lots of Slack. I mean, like we have a internal tech radar, which covers a broad array of things. I mean, a company that size has to kind of settle on some tools though. So mm-hmm, I mean, we use your standard Jira and bits and pieces, but also within teams, you're kind of free to choose whatever best suits the work you're doing.
Yeah.
So you can pick your process, you can pick your tools. Like, you just have to be able to communicate the information that's required at some level mm-hmm in some of the standard tools. Like, you put some stuff in Confluence, you put some stuff in Jira. But if you day to day, if your team wants to manage the work inside with some other tool, that's mm fine. You can do that.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
And so can we talk about the culture and what it's like to work in at HelloFresh, and what do you personally love about the organization?
Yeah, the thing I most enjoy is the amount of effort and time consideration that every single person seems to put into their work. There's really no one who's, you know, not driving towards the same goal.
Yeah.
And even though a lot of the things that we want to achieve, we're not necessarily 100% there, everyone kind of has the same end state in mind.
Mm. So the organization obviously does a really good job of communicating what the pathway yeah is and how you need to execute.
That's right.
To contribute to yeah that. Yeah. So some of the benefits of working for HelloFresh, you mentioned there's a L&D, so training budget
yep
for individuals that work there. What are some of the other benefits that HelloFresh provide their employees?
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously we want our employees to experience the product because
mm-hmm
that makes your life you know, much easier when you're kind of writing your software to understand the customer's point of view.
Yep.
So everyone gets a 70% discount.
Wow. On there. That would be a huge significant saving on grocery bills, especially our groceries are just going through the roof. That would be
So I think I think I get like five meals for our family of four for about, you know, $35
that is a week. Just
pretty good.
That's pretty good, isn't it? How much money would that save?
Yes, it's huge,
Yeah, fantastic.
So there's that aspect. Then there's also this, we have like cultural days where you can have different events and things like that. We just had one recently. It was a winter ski party, I think it was.
Winter ski party,
So people don the outfits and go and do those.
I think I saw those on LinkedIn. Yeah, it looked funny.
Yeah,
it looked fun.
Yeah. And there's also one of the other awesome ones is HelloFresh Days. So on top of your annual leave, every year for the first 5 years, you'll get an extra 2 days of leave.
Yeah, great.
So at the end of 5 years, you'll have 30 days annual leave per year. So
That's huge. That's significant. That's great for everyone, particularly people that have got families and kids in school. And, fantastic.
Yeah, so they're really kind of like, The focus is we want people to come and have a career, right? We want people to stay and learn the business. It's a complex business. And so to lose people is a high cost.
Yeah.
And so the more people are kind of encouraged to stay, the better it is for everybody.
Mm.
And then it's easier for new people to start. I think we've got three people the other day who've actually been on the tech team for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And the amount of information they have about HelloFresh is just quite impressive, to be honest.
Mm.
And so pairing up one of them with somebody who's newly joined in tech, the knowledge sharing that they have is
so they get huge. Buddied up,
Yeah.
That's really great for a young person joining.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you've got offices in Sydney. Mm-hmm. What are the offices like?
It's nice. Like, it's a small sort of campus in Chippendale, a few different buildings. They've got like three levels of one building, and then they've got a new kitchen area and because they've got test kitchens.
Okay.
So they're cooking. So, I guess another benefit is every day. So the people who are cooking in the test kitchen, they'll pop lunches that they've made into the fridge. If you're quick, you'll get one. So there's fun things like that.
Yeah, very good. So thanks for sharing information about what it's like to work at HelloFresh. How about you and what you like to do in your spare time? What do you get up to?
Yeah, spare time for me. Spend as much of it with my family as possible.
Mm-hmm. I know you've got a young family, kids in school.
Hanging out with my kids, doing fun stuff with them.
And you live sort of, is it South Lake Macquarie-ish area?
Yeah.
So you head down to the Sydney office when you can.
Yeah, so I go in like 1 to 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Depending on sort of train schedules and things like that.
Yeah.
So they've got a pretty flexible policy. And we try and have a team in the office 1 day a week together.
Yep.
Just so that they can get that face-to-face time, which is nice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you do any tinkering and building stuff in your spare time? What do you get into?
I read a lot.
Yeah.
I read a lot of books. I listen to podcasts.
What podcast do you listen to?
A lot of Lex Fridman at the moment.
Lex Fridman?
Yeah.
Who's that?
He's like a former AI researcher. He still does a lot of things like that. But yeah, he interviews really a wide variety of people. But he has that kind of
You got an interest in AI?
I mean, yes, very like high level. I find it all interesting, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
Yeah.
And what books do you read?
The tech books I read, a lot of them. But also, philosophy books, things like that.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Be good to also understand, is there any sort of mentors that you've had during your career that you've really stayed in touch with, or are you sort of keen on doing that for more junior people coming through the ranks? Who was your biggest influence during your career, do you think?
I probably haven't had one specific person. I've kind of been able to take something from sort of everyone I've worked with, even sort of senior and junior people. And even now, I find I learn a lot mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, given that I was working on my own for 7 years as a freelancer, it was something that I thought kind of got lost when a lot of the agile processes came in.
Yeah.
Before that, it was very heavy focus on mentoring. you start, you get mentored, you grow, you had someone there. Mm. But we flattened out a lot of the structures.
Yeah.
And while that's super positive, I think we lost a lot of that sort of mentoring aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
HelloFresh has a mentoring program, and I've participated in that, both as a mentee and a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been really, really fun. But, yeah, there's no one specific person. But yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of YouTube videos of talks given by certain people. Yeah, wide variety of people there. So, yeah, just trying to take as much as I can from different people across the board.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it's been very interesting having a chat about your career journey and HelloFresh, and it sounds like such a great company to work for. I know I've had really good experiences with your internal team as well. They got really high energy and just really nice people and really passionate about brand, which is great. So it's good to catch up with you again, as always.
Yeah, you
and too. Have a couple of laughs, and yeah, thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.